Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stifler's knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, you know, folks, this is the first time that I'm really, really mellow yellow. You know what I said to myself? The world needs to hear something that'll stimulate them from all this negativeness, all this craziness, all this bullshit. So here's the song I came up with it. I hope you got your ears on.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. Every night we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now.
Tonight, folks, don't worry, be happy. And why? There's nothing you can do about it, as Ice Cube says. Puff puff, pass give, or puff puff give. That's for those of you who smoke Mary Jane. Folks, can you believe this? Another week has gone by. My. And guess what? This time next week will be the 3rd of August. Can you believe it? 8 months have just disappeared. It's gone. It's history. Man, I'll tell you, I'm not going to get on my soapbox today about all that negativity because, you know, we've got so much to live for. We really do. There's so many beautiful things out there that's positive. There's so many beautiful friends and family and new acquaintances yet to come down the line that we're going to meet. You know, I'm just going to change. I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm not going to be mad. It's going to happen. Whatever is going to happen is destined to happen. But you know what? I'm not going to worry. I'm going to be happy. That's all I'm going to set. I'm going to spread joy and love amongst the world. That's all I'm going to do. I don't want no more bullshit. And let me tell you something, folks. We got one hellacious show. We got Kevin and Robin out there in upstate New York. They're having a lot of action. A lot of action going on, which we're going to bring them with us today. Then we got a new guy, a new fellow named Shane. And thanks to Travis, you know, who's been on the show. Out there in the Appalachians, they have that new thing going on. It's called the Glimmer Man. Those of you may have remember Steven Seagal, the Kung Fu guy, and all those great series that he did. And every time he ran across somebody, he broke their arms or limbs. Or something. He was a cop or something. He did a series called The Glimmer Man. If you go find out what Glimmer Man actually means, now you see him, now you don't. And it become a truism over there in the Appalachian Mountains. Well, believe it or not, our good buddy Shane has sent over some photos and some videos to me. And I've got to tell you, they're astounding. He's seen it up close, seen it personal. And last but not least, we got Lady Jody on the line. She was on last week. I wasn't here. But I'll tell you what, she's going to sit there and tell us some more of her stories. And you know, she's been a part of us for many, 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 many years. And I respect her. Matter of fact, I love her. I think she's a hell of a gal. I met her. TJ met her. Youngblood met her. And my co-host sure as hell met her. And they spent some time together. If you get to know Rocky, my co-host, you'll find out that he'll get into you. And what does that mean, he'll get into you? He'll get to know you in his own way. Rocky's not a guy that really just goes out to linger on and meet people. They actually come to him. It's like bees to honey. But then when he gets you, it's like asking him, what time is it, Rocky? And he builds you a clock. And you're going to love it because you're going to get entwined in that web as the spider says, come to me. So without any further ado, what I'd like to do is bring the husband and wife team, Robin and Kevin, Kevin and Robin of upstate New York, on and let them tell you personally from their points of view what's been happening, and then I'll dig in a little bit. Robin, Kevin, you guys out there?
Yep,
yes,
we are.
Oh, I like that. In unison. That was beautiful. First of all, let me ask, how are you guys?
We're doing okay.
We're doing well.
That's beautiful, number one. Number two, did you apply the application to the ground of what I told you to do?
Yep, we
yes.
did.
Yes,
okay.
we did.
Don't tell us how it came out. Tell everybody
okay.
around the globe what's been happening since you've been on the show and what's happened most recently in the last week. You got the floor.
Okay.
They've been taking the bees.
We've been trying to put different offerings, I guess you could say, out in the woods to entice them to come around. For a while, we put shells out there. We put the shells out in a row, and they'd be zigzagged when they got done with it. Some of the shells came up missing, and there was only one left. So we started putting these little shiny beads on the ground. For the first few times, the beads were just kind of scattered around. Next thing you know, the beads are completely gone.
All of them.
I don't know what would have taken them, but we figured we had one shell left, and we put a bead inside the shell, and whatever was taking the beads took that bead inside the shell as well. So my wife had the idea of putting the beads on some ribbon and gluing them to the ribbon. And the beads have been taken off the ribbon. So we know that whatever is taking them off the ribbon has to have hands. So whether it's a human or our friendly neighborhood Bigfoot, we don't know for sure. We just got some cameras and put them out. We went out to check them, and the means that we have of checking them did not work. So we're going to take the discs over to the library and use the computer to see if we can get any images off the disc from the computer.
And then last night we heard two whistles.
We've been hearing vocalizations. A lot of the vocalization sounds very similar to owl calls.
That starts.
It starts out that way.
Yep.
And next thing you know, the vocals change from owl sound to hoops and whoops.
Last night we heard two different vocalizations from whistles from them right
yeah.
out near our backwoods.
We heard actually whistle sounds this time.
Yep.
But so far, that's what's been happening. We hear a lot of trees snapping around us, branches and stuff like that breaking. Once in a while, it sounds like something being thrown on the roof of our barn.
Or hitting the barn.
It could be natural, but some of the ways that we're hearing it doesn't sound like it is.
Okay.
That's what's been happening so far.
We pretty much go out every night around 9 till 11 and just sit and listen. And sometimes it's around 9:30, 10 o'clock. Last night we were outside for an hour and a half, and there were about six vocalizations along with the two whistles that we've never heard before, which is new. And then the other night we counted 10 vocalizations, which we heard maybe possibly a youngster trying to mimic one of them.
It was higher pitched.
Higher pitched.
It sounded like a child, except that it was doing the sounds that the others were doing.
Wow. Wow. So let's digress just for a second, all right?
Okay.
People are going, it's going through their minds right now. Well, you know, you've gone out there and you've seen that the gifts that you were displaying to give to the creatures,
right?
Most of them were gone. Most of them were played with. They're probably saying in the back of their head, well, did they leave prints? Did they leave other gifts in return?
A feather. One time there was a feather.
Last year they gave us a feather.
A feather.
It was a big turkey feather. But we've left food out for them, apples, oranges. They don't seem to care for the oranges as much. They did eat at least one of them, but there's still an orange out there that's quite old. But as far as footprints, we did find prints that we felt were from them. We did get pictures, and we sent some of those pictures to you earlier.
But the flower is there on the ground.
But we put the flower on the ground, like was asked of us to do. And so far, I haven't found a print in it yet. But I'm sure that when they come close enough, there should be something in it.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't understand that, I had asked them because they said the ground was dried up and you couldn't see any type of print or impression in the ground. So I told them to get a bag of flour and put it all around where they gave gifts or offered gifts to the creature. And that's what they're talking about, okay? They're not floral flowers like a rose or anything like that.
Right.
Well, you're doing all the right things. When was the last time you went back?
This morning.
Today.
And we went back today. Again, I didn't see any tracks.
It's just really dry back there.
But the beads were taken.
Five of them.
There was a string of 10 beads, and 6 of them were still left on the
ribbon.
Like I said, I tried to check the camera, but the other camera that I was going to use to check the disc,
it
would not take the disc. So
Saturday we're going to take it
where there's a computer and run it on a computer.
Okay. Well, I think you're doing everything that is possibly, especially made to, at your availability. I think you're doing the right thing. Let's get the beard of knowledge on if we can, Rocky, and see if he has any questions or any new anecdotes that he could add to the puzzle to help out Robin and Kevin. Beard of knowledge, out there?
I am, Tom. Good evening.
Good evening to you. Have you been listening to the conversation?
I have. I was just following along there, and I was having a little visual in my mind of that whole situation there. My thing would be is if, I mean, the only thing I added, the only thing that I caught on the conversation sounds like you said, everyone's doing what they can do, but you got your cell phone out there and you guys are out there doing that 9 to 11 thing. You hear those vocalizations come on, those iPhones will pick up a long ways away. They can hear really well when you put it on video or audio record if you have the setting and record some of that. It'd be really cool to hear some of those vocalizations. That's really an easy way to do it. If you got your phone right there, just get it on go to settings and find your record and have it at the ready. And if you hear something, hit the button and let it catch it. You'll be surprised what you can pick up on that phone.
Okay.
That would be really cool. We would love to hear that, and I'm sure everybody around the globe would like to hear some of those vocalizations, especially with the juvenile. That's very interesting.
We only heard it the one time, but it was trying to mimic what the others were doing, but it was real high pitch, like it would be a juvenile doing it.
Right. That would be really, you know, possible. Maybe you can catch the adult and the baby or the young one at the same time. That would be quite interesting to hear that vocalization. I'm sure Tom would like to check that out, too.
Okay.
That's a great, good adding to it. It really is a beard of knowledge. You know what? Let's stay on there for a minute, and let's ask my co-host, Rockstar, what do you think? Got anything to add to this? What they can do?
Actually, that sounds to me like they're getting got a pretty good handle on it. That was what the Swede was talking about when me and him and Doyle, and I don't remember who else was out there. We heard a vocalization the one night, and the next night it come a horrible storm, but the night after that, me and Doyle and Tommy were talking. We leaned up against the bed of the truck, and we was talking, and we didn't realize it, but Tommy was recording all the moronic, imbecilic stuff that we were talking about. But anyhow, we heard the vocalization again, and Tommy got it on. Tommy recorded it.
Wow!
To two universities, and they didn't realize. Neither university had any idea about the involvement of the other one, and both of them came back simian. And well, we got some weird people in Arkansas, but not very many simians. So, by all means, if you can catch it on your phone, that would be a good way to spread it around to all of us.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that.
We'll sure try.
Listen, I want to thank you guys once again for your participation and everything that goes on here, and if it wasn't for you, there'd be no us, as you know, and just keep up the good work, and just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other side of this advertisement, because we got to pay the bills, we're going to do a promo here, we're going to bring out our new friend, Shane, from the Appalachians. Thank you to Travis. So stay with us right on the other side of the commercial. Rockstar, it's up to you.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that? He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Every time I listen to that little ditty, it just brings the hairs up on the back of my neck. That was our first movie, Bigfoot Lives. And as you know, we're on the course of doing our last one coming up here pretty soon. And it's just something else. You haven't seen it, get to see it. And if you didn't like it, tell everybody else. Maybe they'll like it. Nevertheless, without any further ado, let's get out there to northern New York, my hometown or my home state. We got a new person, that contributor, through Travis, our good buddy. His name is Shane. Shane, you out there?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
How are you tonight, buddy?
Doing pretty well, just sitting out here looking at these mountains and staring off at the stars. So it's a nice, clear night here in Georgia.
I'm glad to hear it. So let me ask you this. Travis was in northern New York, and you're in Georgia.
In northern Georgia, the Appalachians in northern Georgia, right, basically right at the start of the Appalachian Trail. In that general area.
Okay. So tell everybody around the globe what you've been experiencing, how it started, and how long ago it started with you.
Okay. Well, pretty much my entire life, I guess I could say I've been pretty I've had a lot of experiences as growing up. I don't know the word I'm looking for, but just I've always seen things my entire life, but as of recently, about a year ago, we were doing some yard work, my brother and I, and I kept noticing something. I kept getting hit with like acorns from above, something hitting me, and the trajectory of them, it wasn't making any sense to me because these things were hitting me like right in square in the chest, but there's nobody around me that I could see throwing these things at me, and I don't know. I've always been an avid reader and researcher of the paranormal and the unexplained and everything, Bigfoot, et cetera, and just started thinking, and something had caught my brother's eye that day that he just couldn't explain, and he kept mentioning the movie Predator from back in the 80s with Arnold Schwarzenegger, with the predator being that cloaks himself and blends into the surroundings, and believe it or not, I saw one myself that day, and I couldn't believe it. I thought I was just having a heat stroke or something. I don't know what was going on, but that was been about a year ago. And since then, I see these things everywhere now, as well as the internet's coined the term glimmer man for them. I just call them the predators, what I call them. But fortunately, I don't have any fear of them, like they're going to harm me, like predator-like, but I just call them the predator because of the movie. But these things, they look exactly like, if y'all have seen the movie, they look exactly like the predator in the movie. That's the best I can explain it. The cloak, they have a humanoid shape. You can see the outline of their bodies. I've always spotted them in the tops of trees is where I see them. And, boy, they can move fast, too. They can move from tree to tree just like they were skipping down, like if we were skipping on the concrete down below. That's how fast they can move from throughout these trees and forests. At first, I had a lot of fear just because of the unknown. But over time, I've gotten used to it. I guess it's more conditioned to it, and still can frighten me sometimes. But I think if they were going to harm me, something would have happened by now. Is the way I look at it. But And with that being said, like the predator things and the UFOs, the I tell people, and some of my friends have seen it, and these lights, these orbs, the best I can explain, they follow me. I swear they follow me everywhere, even when I'm driving. They'll stop with me at red lights, hover above me. I'll move. They'll continue moving. They'll follow me down the freeways, get off at my exits that I get off at on the freeways. And I've got a lot of pictures of this stuff, too. And I know I sent you some stuff earlier this morning, Tom, and hopefully those came through for you and you're able to view those. But I've got tons and tons more pictures, tons of video, and I'm just glad to be talking to some like-minded folks because people look at me like I'm crazy when I start talking about this stuff. My brother and I are really the only ones that experience it, and my parents live here in North Georgia as well, and they've had some experiences themselves now, so they've become a little more open-minded to this whole unexplained and how our surroundings are far more complex than most people care to even know. But that is the gist of my experiences, just the UFOs and other humanoid type of entities that I see that have this cloak type of technology. Some of them look even to be female. Some of them look like soldiers. Some of them, it's just all different varieties of types of beings that I've seen, but they all share the one characteristic of the cloaking technology, and the them always being in the tops of trees is where I always spot them. And as far as like the others, my brother's house has a lot of activity. There's a power station next door to his house. And just from my research, I understand that some of these entities they need a power source to come through to this dimension, for lack of a better word. And I think that he has so much activity at his house because of this particular power source next door to him. And at his house, we see assortment of things, even spirits. I swear I've seen like my grandpa walking around the driveway at my brother's house, who's been deceased for 6 or 7 years. Just other deceased family members, pets even. I've seen my dead dog walking around the driveway at my brother's house. Stuff that's just absolutely mind-blowing. And these experiences, they just continue to happen pretty much on a daily basis. And I was just sitting outside here looking off at the mountains and had something flying above me at a very high rate of speed. Wasn't making a plane. I didn't hear any plane. I didn't see any plane indicators or any sounds from a plane. And this thing was moving. It was just a white light. And I checked the ISS space station, and it's not due to be visual from here till Friday. So I think I just saw another UFO just a couple minutes ago as I was calling in too. So this nonstop activity with me recently.
Wow. Well, you know, I got to tell you a story. In the higher Appalachians, we met an engineer, a scientist, believe it or not. And I think he's in Bigfoot Lives 3. I'm not sure. Okay. I made so many damn movies, I can't remember what's in all of them. And it was very interesting because here's a guy that's a PhD. And I call those guys post-hole diggers. But the guy's got a doctorate, and it's not in, you know, medical and stuff. And it was totally amazing how certain time every evening on his property, he'd go out and these lights would come on a hovering ship. I don't know what to call it. I don't know if it was a circular ship, whatever. And he would shoot a shotgun in the air, and you'd hear it bounce off.
Wow.
But we couldn't see the ship. We knew the lights, though, okay? And I said to myself, my God. I said, are we really experiencing this? You know? But it happened. It happened. It was there, okay? We experienced it. And, you know, you hear stories like this, but you say, oh, no, no way, okay. But it happens. Now you, because we're dealing in a whole new realm, okay? We're dealing in a whole new realm, and you're the guy now that's the new kid on the block for us. And I'm sure, well, let's check. I'm going to get a lot of flack, and I'm going to get a lot of good things from people. So what I'm going to do is check the emails right now and see if actually anything came in. I know I was getting calls about it in the past, and I didn't know much about it until I checked up on it. And believe it or not, it's there. And now you are the kingpin because you've got film. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to see this film. I'm telling you straight up, you will blow your mind. I'm going to have our webmaster put some of this up, if that's okay with you.
Oh, absolutely. And, Tom, I have better pictures than that. My brother has on his phone. I can get some pictures that will really blow your head. Will just explode seeing some of the pictures that we have.
Well, I'd love to. The one that I saw between the door jamb there and the two rooms,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe that. It just blew me away. And then the other one that I saw looked like an elephant's head.
Oh, there's the things that show up sometimes, and I'm really feel that my brother, there is some type of portal on his property that I think these beings are coming through. And I've seen stuff that I can't explain, as far as, like, you have your humanoid type of beings, then you have things that I don't even know what they are, but I have photos of them. And I've never seen these species in any book that I've ever read or anything that I've ever seen in my time, but it's all types of beings and entities just taking different forms, and I think some of them do shapeshift, and there's footprints too. There's one of a lot of the properties. I would like to say the Bigfoot footprints. I'm a believer that Bigfoot travels in and out of our is an interdimensional being, is my belief, and do have evidence of just 17, 18-inch footprints on my brother's property as well that we have photos of that I could
see. It's amazing that you said that, because this is another new development that we're getting into ourselves right now. So the unknown is the unknown, okay? And this happens to go under the unknown. The lady that's going to be coming on, her name is Jody, and, you know, the show last week, you didn't listen, unless you did, I don't know. I wasn't on, but the topic was, is the Bigfoot linked to the UFOs? Okay? And the reason why we said that is because there's times that we can see prints and they'll go for 12, 13 feet, and then all of a sudden there's no more prints. But yet there's viable sand and mud, but then we'll go around and find out, we'll pick up the prints 150 feet down the road. So were they, you know, was it one of those things, beam me up, Scotty, and then they let them down somewhere else? It's mind-boggling. It really is, Shane. And I'd like for you to really put together a bevy of good stuff. We'll put it on the website, especially opening it up to everybody next Wednesday, and you will be our special guest next Wednesday, and talking about this, if you're free. Are you free?
Yeah, I'm planning to join every week if possible, so I'll make sure that my schedule's clear.
I'm glad to hear that. Okay, well, I'm glad that you wet the whistle a little bit, number one. Number two, I'm glad that people – I'm going to take two of these emails. I'm going to ask the questions to you from the emails that they sent me. Mr.
Okay.
B, be kind enough to ask Shane what was his most traumatic and frightening moment in any of his experiences. That came from Claude Johnson. Claude Johnson asked you that question.
So, Johnson, I would have to say about a year ago when this first started happening, I don't recall what I was doing. I think I was walking the dog or something like that. And some of these, I've noticed the trees and the bushes are next to me. They were just, there was no wind, but the bushes were moving and making noise. I was charged by something. I don't know what it was, but I could see the outlines of these humanoid cloaked figures, and they charged at me and stood right in front of me and kind of stared me down. So that was quite intimidating. That's the most frightening experience I can think of just off the top of my head.
Okay, so
I wasn't harmed.
They stared you down. What did they look like?
They just look like this particular one looked like a normal person almost, like just like a regular human, but it just happened to be cloaked and invisible. It's so hard to explain, but it's like some of them look like normal human beings, and some of them look out of this world, unworldly, is the best way I can explain it. And I've seen some of these things that have the facial features of like a dog or a wolf or something like that too. It's just crazy stuff that I've seen.
Okay, here comes a bunch more. This one here is from Frank Midas. Frank Midas says, I never thought of that. It's a good question. The question he has is, Shane, have any of these entities followed you home?
It's tough to say. I know I have been followed by orbs or UFOs before that have followed me home and just will hover above the house. As far as these entities, it's very possible, but I really think that they're bending time somehow, and they're jumping from one area to another through, I don't know, some type of technology I don't understand. So I can't really recognize if I've seen them before. Most of them look, as far as like the weight that they have, the weight that they appear to be, and the height they appear to be, that's all pretty standard, but just like the facial features will look different, or some of them will have like long hair that it looks like. I recall seeing one that looked like a female that was in a tree that looked like a African-American female with her hair braided is what it looked like to me. I was looking at her through my binoculars on the front porch. So it's tough to say if I've been followed by one in particular from one area to another is possible. But when I say these things are everywhere, they are everywhere. And I really feel like they're just all throughout the world. I feel like they're just if people take the time. I don't know if I in particular can only see them. I know my brother sees them. I know my family, my mother and father have seen them. I don't know if it's a trained eye type of thing or if you just have to concentrate. I can't explain it, but to answer your question, I can't answer it fully knowing that if one in particular being has followed me from one point to another.
Okay, I totally understand. Hold on, I want to bring in the Beard of Knowledge. I want him to get his two cents on this. Robert, you there?
I am. I was listening in. Shane, I had a question. I had a question for Shane. I was going to ask him, you know, he just made the statement, kind of answered my question. You said that you were viewing the one with the braids through binoculars. But my question was, you just said that when you've had your experiences, like they were standing in front of you, was there like a conscious eye-to-eye? Are you seeing a peripheral vision? Is like you look and it's not there?
They've approached me and stood within like 3 feet in front of me, and I get frightened and just turn around and go the other way is what I've done. But I haven't had I don't want to say that I've had like a stare down like we're about to have a boxing match or anything like that, because I would be too scared. I wouldn't be able to do it. But I still don't feel like they're here to harm me or harm any of us. I really think they're just watching is what I think they're doing. But
did you start out with like you just saw, you know, like the song says, in the corner of my eye? Did you see something peripheral and look and not see it, and then you've developed this face to face over time, or was it always
that way? I was seeing other things before the predator beings, and maybe I guess I wasn't looking for them is my best answer. But now that I know that they're out there, and I know what to look for as far as like if a big indicator for me is if there's a lot of chirping like with crickets and everything or frogs. If that goes quiet, then I know there's something in the area, because it's like all the bugs will stop chirping and everything will just get silent. And that's a,
right.
That's a big indicator for me that I know that, something's around my general area. So that's when I start looking for them, just peeking up in the trees and whatnot.
Well, that's very interesting, because the time-bending thing is, you know, that everybody, as far as the physics of that is, the time-bending, that that when the time is bent, that the time is actually going either faster or quite a bit slower. And for you in your mind and your mind's eye to be able to recognize that, whether it's a dog, a cat, a person, or a predator, as you say, is quite phenomenal. And especially in multiples, like if you're seeing like a lot of that. So, you know, something's going on where you're catching on to it. They all say electromagnetic stuff, you know, like we were speaking of, the substation by your brother's house, this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
There could be something going on with that for sure. And, you know, sounds like it's kind of all lining up for you. But be careful, because, you know, you did make the statement about the demons, and there is demons. There is demons in this world, my friend.
Well put. You know, I didn't know that the show was lingering on the way it is so fastly, and we have Jody out there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen in next week. He's going to gather up a bunch more pictures and a lot more excitement for you to hear. That's from our good brother and new guy that's come along board, Shane, through Travis, by the way. And just mute yourself out. We got Jody from back east.
All right,
there.
Thank you.
You're welcome to tell us what's happening. Rockstar, is she ready for us?
Yes, she is. Hello, Jody.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Jody, it's Tom. How are you, honey?
Oh, pretty good.
You've been listening
to
what's
talking.
You what?
That guy talking, he brought back memories to me.
Oh, so Shane brought some memories to you. That's good.
Oh, my God. I started breathing kind of heavy there. Yes.
So, well, what else do you have to tell us that's new that's been going on over there by you?
First, I want to tell that guy, when he mentioned dimensions,
yep.
That's what I've been trying to tell people. I've been talking about this fifth dimension. And about 5,000 or 6,000 years ago, it was Egypt. And he's, somehow it's lining up with the Bigfoot, too, like they come through. I know that's what they do with Egypt way back then. And then the aliens, too. But when those other people were talking, leaving stuff, what I do right here, I've been leaving arrowheads and flint rock. Like, you know what I mean? Those flint rocks that you start fires with?
Yes.
The sparks? I put some of that out there, and they take that, too. But there's arrowheads I leave, too. And they'll leave me vines tied up in knots and stuff, but and this rope like thing made out of bark, like out of a vine, and it's real thin and it's real strong, but it's stripped real long, and it'd be hanging from the top of a tree. Somebody has to get up there that's really good climber, really high up there, and they'll tie it on a branch, and it'll hang down with a little stick on it, a real tiny stick, but it's tied in a different knot. But if there's some reason, they like the flint rock a lot.
So let me ask you a question, Jody. What do you think about the connection of the Bigfoot with the UFOs?
What I was trying to tell last week, what I was trying to say, the connection is they take them too, like I was taken. You know, they, I don't know, you know, there's, I don't know about the control but like that, but they take them too. What I meant by Arizona, when I was talking about the Mega Soldiers, I meant the hybrids. What they were doing was taking human DNA and using it with their DNA, and it wasn't working. They would, they couldn't control them. They had to, what the agent told me, they had to kill them. They were trying to make the ultimate soldiers, you know, the soldiers. And like he was talking, he was using like soldiers and this and that. But it's just what he was talking about just a few minutes ago brought, I just had a lot of flashes for years, you know, what he was talking about. And then recently, it's just all this stuff he's talking about. Yeah, he needs to be careful. There is bad out there. Like I said, there is demons. I don't want to see those demons. But I meant the aliens, the big, you know, Bigfoot, that last night it come by at 2 o'clock and let out a scream right by my darn window, scared the hell out of me. You know, I must not have left it something good. It was letting me know. But it's just, I don't know what it is, but when they call, take the calls serious. People
what
think,
what do you,
oh,
let me ask you this, Jody. Why do you think they picked you?
That's why I don't know. Like when I told you when you was here and I was taken, I've been taken again after that. I have big bruised handprints on my shoulders. My sister, my brother, my mom saw it. My Jane saw it. I have the handprint bruises on both shoulders where something held me down. When it took me, I knew they were going to come. I felt it, like really sick feeling. I knew they were coming. And with it did they. And I was taken again after that time where it came in the bedroom and took me for a ride. But it's just, I don't know. When years ago, a doctor found in my left pelvis area an implant. He took x-rays. He found a thing implanted in my left pelvis. Yeah, that's the guy that started coming out of my house, too. He was a rheumatologist.
Wait, man. You just threw me for a loop. Your left pelvis, they found something that was implanted in you?
Yes, the doctor did.
And what'd they do with it?
He's got the x-rays. He said it ain't bothering nothing. He asked what happened, and I kind of wouldn't tell him at first until I could trust him, and he started coming to my house. The doctor started coming to my house in Kentucky.
You sure that the doctor didn't want to just see what's going on with the implant, but maybe something else down there?
He was scared. Anyway, he took the x-rays home with him. He says, Jody, I'm taking these home with me. He was holding them under his arm. He didn't know what to do with them because he looked kind of pale, I mean, when he found it. And I said, well, this has been going on for a while with me. Since I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
And I said, but Kentucky was where I really lived with the Bigfoot. I mean, I fed him every day. I learned him. You know, I learned what to do, not do. And that's what I'm doing here. It's like kind of respect, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the aliens kind of take them, too, with me. It's just like, and that's what I said, when they come back, they'll start seeing Bigfoot. I think they dropped them off, too.
Wow. Well, you know, I got to tell you, you know that you and Rocky kind of took a shine to each other in your different stories because, you know, he's had his experience with the Bigfoot and you, of course, yours. And you guys really cling to each other with your stories and everything. I want to bring the rock star back on. And, Rocky, talk to Jody and ask some of those questions that you and I were talking about earlier today.
Well, I don't even remember, you know, that was earlier today. Caught me flat-footed. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
we
talked about the fact that we talked about this years ago when we were all in North Carolina. Me, you, Youngblood, Tommy. I think that was all. I think it was just four of us.
Yes, that's it. You're right.
Anyhow, we me and Jody sit out on the porch of the cabin, and she told me all of this stuff, and I told her of my experience or two, and anyhow, I called her the other day and we talked about it. So, you know, we kind of got an ongoing thing here.
I just know when you have, well, I had that walk in my house when you guys, before I saw you guys, when I told you that story, when me and Jane was in here and I saw it land out in the yard, when that thing come in the house, that did me in, I think. And then when it took me, I went through a dimension. I know I did, because I was somewhere else in the daytime in a split few seconds. And then I'm just saying, when it came, looking at one of those things, it's just like looking at something evil. I don't like them, those aliens, because they take me against my will. And they must take Bigfoot against this will. I don't know, but they seem to communicate. But they'll bring Bigfoot. That's why I have a lot of sightings of Bigfoot. When that UFOs come around, I will have a lot of sightings. I will know. I'll hear him. I know he's out there, and I know he's going to bother me that night. He's going to let me know he's there, and I better leave him something.
No, I totally understand. You know what I think what we need to do right now is bring in Father Ray and let Father Ray give us his 2 cents and hopefully lead us into the prayer to end the show tonight and put a blessing on all of you wonderful people and make sure there's no harm that comes to anybody. Father Ray, you out there?
Father Ray is here.
Father Ray, what do you
Ray
think of the
here.
Show here tonight? Isn't it amazing? Hello? You there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay.
I keep talking and it goes mute.
And well, you're probably on that 25-cent phone thing that you got there. Can you hear us now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. What'd you think of the show with these wonderful guests?
Wonderful. Just a very good, lively show. The gal we had on last week, and she came on this week.
What do you think of the new guy, Shane?
Interesting. I'd like to hear more from him.
Well, wait till you get to see the pictures next week. It's going to blow your mind, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's totally blow your mind. You think maybe, Father Ray, that you can give us a 2-minute dissertation of cleansing the world with all this disease and this craziness and hopefully find us a glimmering light instead of the glimmering man of success and healthiness and for all of us out there. Could you help us out?
I think so. Part of the punishment, sort of the result of sin, was that a man would no longer live in this idyllic created in a natural condition, but that we would we'd have to experience pain and misfortune, and so pain is part of each person's life, and it's how we approach it. How do you? It can be used. It has that. God saved us through pain. So
yes,
he
gave his own forgotten son.
Something.
So without any, I can't go over time, Father Ray. So if you could give us 50 seconds of a wonderful prayer for all of the ones out there. And, oh, by the way, Tulu and Lulu, I met these kids last night, and just wonderful, and they believe in Bigfoot, and I told them I'd give them a shout-out. So give us a prayer and save the world, Father Ray.
It's